You might have heard the former president referring to what's going on right now as a hurdle toward a depression. Well, if that's the case, the market's had a funny way of showing it, at least today, with the S&P 500 putting in its best single-day performance we've seen in a couple of years.
And that was Fox News. Good luck, Trump.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Why?
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Oh, hey, here I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, and Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF, amongst other fine terrestrial affiliates. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see what we end up getting out of today's show, Desi Doyen.
Yeah, we have a lot to choose from, certainly.
I had a few plans for what I had hoped to cover on today's program, and I think we'll still get to at least some of it today, but forgive me as we sort of slide perhaps from one thing to the next today as my plans were ruined yet again by Donald Trump. Which I could say, you know, for the last 8 years or so, he has also ruined my plans. But it was ruined when he decided to call a press conference on Thursday afternoon down at Mar-a-Lago. And I guess he noticed that Fox News had been just criticizing day after day Kamala Harris for not holding a press conference over the past 3 weeks or so since Joe Biden dropped out of the 2024 election and endorsed her to lead the top of the ticket. So I guess that Trump noticed that while Fox had been relentless in criticizing Harris for not holding a press conference in 3 weeks, that, oh, yeah, Trump hadn't held one either during that period.
Oops.
So he decided to remedy that today by calling one, ostensibly to claim that he had made agreements with news outlets, or was close to them, he claimed, for three presidential debates in September with Fox News and NBC and ABC, and that CBS would do a vice presidential debate. No clue at this moment if any of that is actually true, at least regarding NBC and CBS, as they haven't, to my knowledge, confirmed that. Much less that Kamala Harris has agreed to it. But the Harris campaign had previously said she intended to keep the original agreement to debate with ABC News without a live audience on September 10, that Trump had previously agreed to himself, an agreement that would include any presidential candidate who met the polling criteria. So it didn't have to be Joe Biden. As Trump's presser was wrapping up his hour-long, it was about an hour-long press conference.
An hour four.
Not long before airtime, which is why we're kind of scattered here today. But as it was wrapping up, AP and some others reported that, in fact, ABC has confirmed that now both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris will be doing that debate in primetime on September 10.
the original debate that was originally agreed to.
Correct.
So in other words, Trump backed down and went ahead and accepted the original terms that he originally accepted.
Well, you know, it's always big news when Donald Trump keeps an agreement to do something. That alone is worth news, and that's what we got today when apparently he agreed to keep his original agreement. Now, before I get to some of the tidal wave of stuff and nonsense, otherwise known as lies, and a tsunami of them at that, that Trump flooded out onto the airwaves on Thursday with this press conference, I should note some good news here. Hey, his right ear looked pretty good. You know, the one that supposedly took a bullet just about 3 weeks ago. In fact, it looked perfect, like nothing had ever really happened to it.
Wow.
Or at least nothing that looked like a bullet from an AR-15 military-style assault rifle. So, hey, I guess kudos to his excellent doctors. Got him all patched up. He looks perfect, like nothing ever happened. So that was nice to see. But there was a lot of Trump-friendly, we will call them press, apparently, at this press conference at Mar-a-Lago, asking very nice questions that Trump clearly wanted to be asked. So really, no actual real or tough questions to speak of in truth as far as we could hear. They didn't bother to mic the press, so we largely had to sort of guess what the questions were from his answers.
Yep.
And, of course, the presser that ran, as I noted, almost an hour before we had to sort of bail out to prepare today's show included dozens and dozens and dozens of simply out-and-out lies. So many, in fact, that it is impossible to fact-check them all, and that would be true even if CNN's Dan Dale was not on vacation this week. So we're not going to try to fact-check them all. In truth, I think that most of these things sort of fact-check themselves to any sentient, non-brain-poisoned person, but I will give you some idea of what he said so you know what's going on in our presidential election, what he said at this press conference. Among the things he said, very, very bad things are going on in our country due to gangs inside our country and out in the form of other countries that are like gangs, but they are worse. He said this was the most dangerous period of time for our country in history. He said the economy was on the verge, not of a recession, but of a 1929 Great Depression collapse, which is an odd thing to say, as you heard Fox News' own Neil Cavuto saying at the top of the show. It's an odd thing to say on the very same day that the stock market, which is already at record highs, saw its best day since 2022, following an encouraging update on the labor market from the Department of Labor on Thursday, with the S&P jumping an astounding 2.3% in response to a record high. The NASDAQ was up almost 3%, and the Dow Jones average was up by 1.7%. So, I don't know, seemed like a good day, but sure, maybe it's a 1929 Great Depression collapse about to happen any moment.
At least now, in his head.
Well, I don't even want to think about what goes on in his head.
A bunch of raccoons fighting each other.
But maybe I'm thinking that perhaps he has a SAD because his Trump media company, which trades as DJT, has plummeted some 36% since Kamala Harris was tapped to run for president three weeks ago. That cost him actually billions of dollars in net worth personally. So maybe that's what he's upset about. Anyway, he also warned that we are on the verge of World War III, that Kamala Harris is a radical leftist like no one has ever seen, that her newly tapped vice presidential candidate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, is even worse than that. And so I guess if they've never seen someone so radical as Kamala Harris, well, I guess they have now because they've seen the radical Tim Walz. I'm quoting here, Trump said about Walz, quote, that he is heavy into the transgender world and, quote, into things that nobody has ever heard of. He said, we have a very, very sick country right now and that it is going to get worse. He said that the Trump campaign was leading very big in many polls, some that apparently say it will be a landslide for him, landslide victory for Donald Trump. He says 20 million people have now come into our country during the Biden administration illegally, as he characterized it. He said that number could be higher, but that nobody knows. But 20 million, that's a lot. Russia, he said that Russia, he said this many, many times over and over again, Russia would not have attacked Ukraine had he been president, that October 7th wouldn't have happened, referring to the attack by Hamas against Israel last year on October 7th, and that there wouldn't have been any inflation had they called the election the right way back in 2020. He also said that, and this is a quote, you have people dying because they can't buy bacon, Desi Doyen. I enjoy that one in particular. I know I would die if I couldn't buy bacon. He said that insane asylums and prisons are being emptied into our country from all over the world, not just South America, but from all over the world, that Kamala Harris is the most unpopular vice president in the history of the country, that the presidency was unconstitutionally taken away from Joe Biden. And when he was asked for his constitutional analysis about that by one of the media on hand later on, he said that it was unconstitutional what they did to Joe Biden, but that he, quote, may be wrong. Kamala Harris, quote, destroyed San Francisco and destroyed California, which is not easy. It's a big state. So congratulations to Kamala Harris for destroying California. By the way, we're in California even as we speak. Not destroyed. Just noting.
Can confirm.
Can confirm. Asked if he was, Kamala Harris is getting, about the crowd size that Kamala Harris has been getting, if he's concerned about that. He called that a stupid question, said that Kamala Harris is getting like 1,000 or maybe 2,000 people, but that he had 107,000 people attend his rally in New Jersey just a few weeks ago, but that the media didn't report that. He says he has 10 times, 20 times, or even 30 times the crowd size that she gets. He said that if the Democrats win, if Kamala Harris wins, then everybody's going to be forced to drive an electric car and that we don't have enough electricity for that if it happens. So I guess everything will collapse when she forces everyone to buy an electric car. He says he's leading in Georgia by a lot and in Pennsylvania by a lot. The polls suggest otherwise, but, you know, maybe he's seeing something that we're not. He said that if we have honest elections in Georgia and Pennsylvania, that we're going to win by a lot. And as you know, as he sees that, it's a pretty big if. But as he sees it, it, you know, guarantees that, well, if he loses in those states, it's only because it was not a fair election. I hope to speak to that a little bit more later this hour, if I can, in response to some listener mail today. When asked if there would be a peaceful transfer of power, he said, of course there will be a peaceful transfer of power. And there was last time, he added. Just to give you an idea of what he regards as peaceful, he also said that nobody died on January 6th, 2021. And in fact, one of his own supporters actually died that day. Another died of a heart attack. Five Capitol Police died or took their own lives in the days that followed. And 140 law enforcement officials were sent to the hospital, some of them very seriously. The abortion issue, he said, has been very much tampered down, that it is much less of an issue. He said he thinks abortion is now a very small issue this year. He said that Kamala Harris wants to take away everyone's guns. He said the Strategic National Oil Reserve has been emptied, that Joe Biden emptied it, and that it is almost empty. Is that true, by the way?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, that's good, because I hate to see that happen. As a matter of fact, I know that Joe Biden, because the way he did put some of that oil onto the market and then bought some much cheaper later on, so sold it for a higher price, got it back for a much lower price, actually made
billions
and billions of dollars, like no one has ever seen, as Donald Trump might say. And that's just some of the stuff and the nonsense that Trump had to say during his so-called press conference at Mar-a-Lago on Thursday afternoon. But if you missed it, I hope it feels like you were there. You're welcome. It was, as usual, a sort of a gish gallop of stuff and nonsense that really, like I say, came too fast and too furious to be able to highlight or much less fact check in real time or even at all. Before he'll, you know, move on to other more stuff and nonsense.
Yes, exactly. And I would have to note that I would like to note that none of the assembled media, as far as I could tell, ever asked him at any time about classified documents that would have been stored in the room that he was in or anywhere at Mar-a-Lago and the ones that are still missing.
Or about the $10 million in cash that appears that Egypt sent to him just before he took office, as
nobody
reported
asked.
By the New York Times. Nobody brought that up. They asked him about, you know, his crowd size and they weren't mic'd. They weren't on camera, which tells me, yeah, they were a whole bunch of, you know, Trump's little right-wing press buddies.
There were a few legit reporters there, but because the fact that they did not put mics on to those reporters, it was really impossible to hear their questions, although it appears now that other people have been able to release some clips with the audio raised of those reporters. So if you want to go look them up, go for it.
Don't be so mean to our listeners, Desi. Don't send them to... But anyway, yeah, it's there if you want, but I think you've got the idea now. But since we have been looking at vice presidents this week for some reason, with Kamala Harris's so far very popular selection of Minnesota's Tim Walz and getting to know him, and as we cover a bit of his, frankly, heroic record on climate action up in Minnesota as governor in our Green News report a little bit later this hour, by way of contrast with Trump's vice presidential pick, that would be Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. I just wanted to give just a bit more time than we were able to cover in our Green News report to focus on what J.D. Vance actually said just a few days ago regarding Kamala Harris's climate positions, especially since a number of them were simply stuff that Donald Trump himself has said and that Fox News has said, and it's impossible to know who stole it from whom there. But over the weekend, I think this was at a rally in Atlanta.
Yes.
J.D. Vance, just like Trump today at Mar-a-Lago, claimed that Harris was going to, quote, take your gas cars. He's going to take away your gas cars. To which J.D. Vance, after lying about that, said that here in, quote, in America, you ought to be able to drive whatever the hell you want because this is America and we believe in freedom, unquote. Which is nice of him to say, because this is America, and as it turns out, you can drive whatever the hell you want. And there is no plan to take away your gas cars, as Vance claimed in Atlanta, or to, quote, force everyone to drive an electric car, unquote, as Donald Trump said at Mar-a-Lago on Thursday. And as he regularly does in his rallies, whenever he's, where he promises to, quote, end Joe Biden's electric vehicle mandate. Which should be, he's going to do that on day one, by the way, which will be easy because there is no electric vehicle mandate. I wish there were, but there isn't. So Vance then, after making those comments about Kamala, who's going to take away your gas cars, Vance also went on to repeat this popular piece of nonsense heard often from Fox News and therefore often from Donald Trump as well.
She wants to take away your gas stoves. She even wants to take away your ability to eat red meat. That's how out there she is. That's real. The fake news will fact check it. They'll fact check it true. She actually said that. In other words... She thinks that she's better than us. She thinks she's better than you.
Now, okay, even if she did say that, I'm not sure that that would make her think that she's better than you. But okay, man, talk about giving red meat to your base.
True.
I don't know if JD knows that's not supposed to be actually a literal thing. But in any event, let's focus on facts here because, hey, we're the fake news who will fact check and find it to be true, even though we're fake news. I don't know. So did she actually, quote, actually say that, as JD swears she did? And that we will all find out if we check it out. Well, as it turns out, the fact checkers had already fact checked that one because Donald Trump has been saying something nearly identical for a long time. As Andrew Romano reported at Yahoo News late last week, quote, at recent rallies, former President Donald Trump has taken to accusing his new Democratic rival, Vice President Kamala Harris, of wanting to ban red meat if she wins in November. Trump's claim, writes Romano, is false. Harris has never supported, quote, passing laws to outlaw red meat to stop climate change, as Trump misleadingly told a North Carolina audience on July 24. And as you just heard, J.D. Vance told supporters in Atlanta just days ago. Nor is Harris plotting to, quote, get rid of your cows, as Trump added on July 31 in Pennsylvania. In fact, when actually asked about the issue during a climate change forum on CNN, Kamala Harris said that she loves cheeseburgers and that she thinks updating dietary recommendations to encourage healthy, environmentally friendly eating is a better approach than, quote, banning certain behaviors. She said, quote, just to be very honest with you, I love cheeseburgers from time to time. I just do, she said. But there has to be also what we do in terms of creating incentives that we will eat in a healthy way, that we will encourage moderation, and that we will be educated about the effects of our eating habits on our environment. And the government has to do a much better job of that. Well, there you go. Get rid of your cows. Or as Vance said on Saturday, she wants to take away your ability to eat red meat. That's how out there she is. That's real. The fact checkers will see that, quote, she actually said that, unquote. Well, if she did, Vance has yet to cite where or when, because she certainly didn't say that when she was actually asked about it on CNN.
True. And spoiler alert, there is no evidence she's ever said anything about banning red meat in any fashion. All she's ever done is said, hey, yeah, we could adjust those food pyramid guidelines and make sure people understand the impact of what they eat on their bodies and on the environment. That's all she said. Trump and the Republicans are just flat out lying about it.
Well, that's unusual. She went on to say that she did think that food labeling should be reconsidered to perhaps include the effect that various foods have on the environment,
yeah,
to include that on the labeling. But according to Dr. Frank Hugh, the chair of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard, an accumulated body of evidence shows a clear link between high intake of red and processed meats and a higher risk for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and premature death. But such meats are fine in moderation. As Harris put it, who recommends no more than 2 or 3 servings per week? And environmentally, according to Scientific American, with meat, particularly beef, driving climate change through cows' methane emissions, that would be burps and farts, and the conversion of forests into grazing land, about 40% of greenhouse gases come from agriculture, deforestation, and other land use changes. So increasing awareness of these effects through food labels or dietary guidelines would not prevent Americans from eating red meat. You don't have to get rid of your cows. She's not going to take away your ability to eat. But those are the facts. And facts don't matter to guys like Donald Trump, to guys like J.D. Vance. None of this, I realize, is new, but I feel like we have to underscore it every now and again because there is just so much stuff and nonsense that these guys are putting out constantly every 15, 20, 30 seconds in a press conference, so-called press conference like the one that Donald Trump had today, that we have to just, you know, give you occasionally some actual facts to underscore all of the other things that we don't have time to fact check, to let you know that, yes, if we actually check these things, fake news does a fact check, well, then no, it won't actually be found to be true what these guys are lying about. By the way, this is a lie that Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who's up for re-election as well, has been saying as well. What did he say the other week? Kamala can't have my guns. She can't have my gasoline engine. And she sure as hell can't have my steaks and cheeseburgers. So good news, Ted Cruz. She doesn't want them. Though a few less cheeseburgers might help you to take off a few pounds, stay alive a bit longer. You're welcome, Ted Cruz. It might even, you know, help your children have a more livable world. But I really don't know if Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or J.D. Vance actually care about what happens after they are gone to their own children and grandchildren, because they certainly don't act like it. So, by the way, Romano notes in this article at Yahoo News that back in early 2017, Trump enjoyed his first dinner out as president at the BLT Prime by David Burke restaurant, which was located in Trump's own D.C. hotel. Both that restaurant and that hotel have since closed, but he reportedly ordered a well-done New York strip steak with ketchup. And if I had to eat well-done steaks with ketchup, well, that might get me to call for banning red meat as well. I'm just saying. Anyway, more on the actual policies of Kamala Harris, and specifically today her running mate, Tim Walz, when it comes to the climate. Real policies, not made up ones, later on today's program in Desi's GNR. And finally, he is a climate action hero. And you know, he didn't even have to ban cows in order to do that. Now, I know that everyone has been passing around a lot of videos that have been going viral on social media of the Minnesota governor, now the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, doing all sorts of fun stuff like being hugged by small school children after signing a bill in Minnesota to give free breakfast and lunch to all school children, regardless of income. That video, often contrasted by a screenshot of these stern, terrified schoolboys wearing jack coats and ties standing next to Arkansas Republican governor and former Trump press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders as she was signing a bill to loosen restrictions on child labor. Because, you know, freedom to make those freeloading fourth graders carry a little bit more of their weight around here for a change. And then there was all of these videos, like, for example, this one of Tim Walz in his car calling out Ford for a faulty auto part just days before the midterm election back in 2022, when Walz would go on to win a second term as governor in Minnesota and flip the state Senate from red to blue for the first time in years.
Hey, everybody, Tim here. 11 days till the election, but it's my pro tip of the day out on the road. I got to show you this. This right here is the headlight harness on a 2014 Ford Edge. Ford, this is unacceptable. It burned out hot on the connector. So for $799 at Napa Auto Parts here in the city, you can replace this. Just clip off the back, use some shrink wrap connectors on there, tape it back together and put it back in. It's about a 5-minute fix and you're back on the road safe and sound. So pro tip of the day, second one is get out and vote for One Minnesota. Get out and let's take this state in a direction we know it needs to go. Go vote.
So $7.99 Napa. You know,
he really does come across as America's dad.
After that election, by the way, Walz did win his trifecta. He got a Democratic state house and Senate, and he proceeded to adopt all sort of long overdue progressive priorities that, while not only progressive, also happened to be wildly popular. priorities with all Americans, like gun safety reform. Just to give you an idea of how Walz has governed as the two-term mayor in the land of 10,000 lakes, here are his remarks to the state legislature last year during his State of the State address in advance of successfully adopting this just a host of new gun safety laws in the state.
We can't talk about public safety without talking about guns, so let's have that conversation. I'll go ahead and put my credibility up against anyone on this issue. I'm a veteran and I'm a hunter. And for many years, I was one of the best shots in Congress, and I got the dang trophies to prove it. I know guns as well as anyone, but I'm sick and tired of talking about that. Because I'm not just a veteran, not just a hunter, not just a gun owner. I'm a father, and for many years, I was a teacher. And we all know damn well weapons of war have no place in our schools, in our churches, in our banks, or anyone wants to live in peace. We know the state where our country's in, and we know what the news has been every single week, every single day. So let's be honest, really honest. We know all those. All of us know all those things to be true. We're just used to being bullied by the gun lobby. You know what? When I first started in Congress, I had an A rating from the NRA. I have straight Fs now. I sleep just fine at night. More to the point, Minnesotans, and I especially amongst them, are not going to stand by and let people keep making this about the Second Amendment when it's really about our first responsibility, keeping our children safe. Be very clear, the time for hiding behind thoughts and prayers is long gone. What we need is action, and we need it now. So here's what's gonna happen. We've got gun safety bill on the table, and we're going to get it passed. And I'm gonna sign it. I'm going to sign it, and this is what's going to happen. We're going to have universal background checks. We're going to have red flag laws to keep guns out of the hands of people. And we're going to have lawful gun owners not be impinged upon one bit to continue doing what they've already done. These are smart policies. If there's anybody that doubts, anyone in America doubts that we're going to take meaningful action to protect our kids, I've got two words. Watch us.
Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota last year during his State of the State address, April of 2023, calling for long overdue gun safety laws. And in fact, here's what did happen. They did pass it. And they did get popular red flag laws and universal background check laws, and no one's right to own a gun was impinged upon. Say, I told you we were going to go all over the place today. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back with a bit more, including some listener mail that I'd like to respond to regarding this year's upcoming elections, including some concerns that many of us election integrity folks have about the election, and something that Desi had to say about it on yesterday's program. I'm Brad Friedman, and you're listening to The Bradcast.
The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
500 will buy you a stack. Bet it on the red or the black.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. So some years ago, man, now that I think of it, it was about 20 years ago, now that I do the math, back when we were covering the reported presidential election results out of the great state of Ohio, way back during the presidential contest between then Democratic candidate John Kerry, Republican candidate George W. Bush, who was running for re-election, at a time when Ohio, kind of like what we have seen in Venezuela over the past week, since ruling President Nicolas Maduro has refused to release actual data of how people actually voted from the polls in order to support his government's claim that he actually won the election there rather than the opposition, who claims that they won by a landslide. And, you know, they have offered some measure of evidence to support that claim, whereas the Maduro government just won't release the polling results. We kind of saw something like that back in 2004 in Ohio, when Republicans who ran the Ohio elections at the time refused to let the press and the public oversee the tabulation in certain key counties. They refused to release data that would have proven, you know, that George W. Bush actually won the state that year. But for some reason, they, you know, didn't want to put that, allow the public to see that data. In Ohio, which was the key state that year to determine the presidential election. Well, back then, as we were reporting on that, and no one else, you know, the New York Times would not do it. So we had to pick up that ball. At the time of that, I got to know a guy, sports and boxing announcer you may have heard of, HBO's Jim Lampley. He was an outspoken critic of George W. Bush and how the election in Ohio was held, etc. And he told me back at the time that if you want to follow elections, and this is what made him think that John Kerry could not have lost, and we still don't know because we still never got to see all of the data from the polling place. But he said back then, don't look at the pre-election polling as much. Look at the betting markets. Because in countries like Great Britain, which allow betting on presidential races, including the presidential race here in the U.S., they have millions and millions of dollars on the line. So the odds that they place on those races and on those candidates, for those wishing to bet on any of the candidates running, are likely more accurate than pre-election polls, or at least that's how he saw it. That was his indication of who was likely the winner and the loser in that race, because these companies stand to make or lose hundreds of millions of dollars in the bargain. And I don't know if he's right about that, but I do take his point. And to that end, as we've seen Kamala Harris's numbers continuously tick up over the past several weeks since Joe Biden dropped out of the race and endorsed her, and she has since become the official Democratic presidential nominee, to the point where almost all of the polling averages, as we go to air right now, almost all the polling averages published by the major news outlets, from 538.com to New York Times to Washington Post to Real Clear Politics, they are all now showing Kamala Harris leading Donald Trump nationally by anywhere from about 1 to 2 points, and those numbers are rising. Despite Donald Trump at his press conference on Thursday telling everyone that he is winning in the polls. Well, that's not what the polls say. They say the opposite. But what about the betting markets? What are they saying? What are the betting markets saying that, you know, Jim Lampley used to tell me I should keep my eyes on? Well, good news there as well for the Harris-Walls ticket today. From one of the services that I follow in the UK called Odds Checker, today they report for the first time since April of this year, Donald Trump is not the betting favorite to win the U.S. presidential election. Overnight on Wednesday, the 7th of August, Kamala Harris was made favorite with several UK bookmakers across Odds Checker's site. Since Joe Biden pulled out on July 22, they report Kamala's odds have been cut from 2-1 to 10-11 to win the election. Now, if you don't know what that means, if you're not a gambler, essentially they note that translates to an increase in implied probability of winning for Kamala Harris from about 33% to now about 55%.
That is a strong trend upward.
On the other hand, they note Trump's odds have taken a hit, a decrease from almost 67% to just about 50% in implied probability in those, what are we, about 2 weeks, I think, since that turn. In fact, back on July 17, just before Biden dropped out, Odds Checker had the odds on Trump setting his likelihood of winning at 75%. So he's gone from 75% down to 50% in just those 3 weeks. Says Odds Checker's Leon Blackman, quote, "For the first time since Kamala Harris stepped in for Joe Biden, she has overtaken Donald Trump as the betting favorite to win the U.S. election," citing what he describes as, quote, "a wild swing in odds over the past 3 weeks." So for there you go. For those who don't trust the polls, fine, don't trust them. Maybe look to the odds makers in Great Britain in this case for a different way of looking at all of this. But don't get too excited. Whether it's the polls or the betting odds, don't get too excited too quick. Not until, frankly, anything is signed and sealed and delivered. And I don't mean just on election night, November 5. I don't think anyone should get too excited or even rest easy until at least January 6 of next year, when the Electoral College will be certified one way or another, at least in theory. And then, frankly, arguably until Inauguration Day on January 20 next year, if the Harris-Walz ticket is declared the winner after Election Day. Now, we played this. The reason I say this, we played this clip of Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts, the architect of the fascist Project 2025 scheme, this 900-page manifesto to take over the American government, to fire some 50,000 of its civil servants, replace them with Trump loyalists in every agency, put Trump in direct control of those agencies, and essentially repeal the 20th century if Trump wins a second term. Here's what Kevin Roberts said not long ago.
We are winning. There are a lot of victories that have been secured. Some of them are partial. Some of them in ways that the other side doesn't yet know are foundations for what's coming. And that's just the beginning. And we're not going to tell you everything that's coming.
So there are things that are in place that he's not going to tell us about that is coming, but that they are already winning and he's already confident about that. Okay. Listener Sheila sends in an email today to bradcast@bradblog.com, writing subject line, "Do they know something we don't know?" She writes, "Hey there, Brad. Just finished hearing today's Bradcast with Driftglass and Digby. Always a congenial group and a great listen." Thank you, Sheila. "What Desi said, though, is what resonated with me the most." See? There you go, Des.
Good.
In an answer to the question of why the Republicans are acting like they have the election in the bag, Desi suggested that perhaps they expect to win based on voter suppression and other dirty tricks. I think you called it.
I said the Republicans seem to be planning to suppress the vote, then contest the vote.
Suppress and contest. And Sheila says, "I have thought that as well. There must be some reason why the Republicans are phoning it in, as if they know something we don't know." She writes, "Also, Trump is telling people they only have to vote one more time because they will, quote, have it fixed so well." Now, of course, I've said once or twice in response to those comments from Trump that I believe he said that because he was saying, "Oh, just vote for me one more time, and then I don't care what you do because I won't be running again, and I only care about myself." But I know that a lot of folks see something far more nefarious there, that he is planning to fix it in some way so that essentially elections will be fixed from here on out, so it won't matter how or if people actually vote at all in the future. Back to Sheila. She writes, "This question was asked of Democratic election attorney Mark Elias on MSNBC recently. He seemed confident that refusal to certify by the minions that have been placed all up and down the electoral system was a problem that was well in hand and we don't have to worry about it. She says, "There is nothing I would like to believe more, but I am uneasy. I'm feeling the joy, that's for sure, but I think it behooves us not to be complacent." Now, by the way, I didn't get that impression from Mark Elias on MSNBC. I saw that interview. I didn't get the impression that he was feeling everything was well. He seemed to be quite concerned about it.
Yes, he did.
Though he did seem to feel that it could be overcome, I guess, with legal measures. Though I'm not quite as sure as he is about that. And he also suggested that if folks vote in numbers that are simply overwhelming, that might somehow save us. And I'm not quite as certain about that part of it either, but I do think that it would definitely help, for example, if Harris and the Democrats are able to make the case that, you know, 5 or 10 million more Americans voted for the Democratic ticket than the Republican ticket. Which is one of the reasons why I, raise that point with people who might live in a state that is not a swing state. And they say, oh, well, it doesn't matter how I vote. California is going to go to the Democrats no matter what. So I'm going to vote for Cornel West or Jill Stein or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whatever. And of course, that is fine if you do. But do keep in mind what that means. What that means is perhaps that the Democrats end up winning, but maybe just by 1 million votes instead of 3 or 5 or 10 million votes. And if things get kicked to the House of Representatives or to the U.S. Supreme Court, well, it would be useful for the Democrats in such a case to be able to say, hey, look, whatever you think about the results out of Georgia, where these loyalists have been put in place as election officials down at the county level and are purposely preventing certification from happening just to cause this chaos, whatever you think of that. Well, the popular vote, Kamala Harris won by 5 million votes, won by 10 million votes. That does make a difference. Back to Sheila here real quickly. She says, I hope when you have time, you will explore this matter. What could go wrong? How can we defend against it? You are the best guy on electoral matters, so I would love to hear more on this. Thank you very much, Sheila. Your steady listener, Sheila. So appreciate that. And your steadiness, Sheila. Yeah, I do recommend to folks who haven't read it to go on over to Rolling Stone and their article about these election officials that have been seated into counties in swing states who are election deniers, who already have, in fact, in about 25 different elections, found ways to not certify the election in the county for dubious reasons, claims of fraud that they aren't actually able to show or to prove. Now, you know, I think we all ought to be able to oversee our own elections. We all ought to be able to know who won and who lost. But if you're dealing in bad faith with someone who has no actual evidence of some sort of fraud in the election, and yet they're holding up certification in a county in Georgia, and therefore holding up certification of the state of Georgia in order to put forward some question about who actually won and who actually lost in Congress on January 6th, well, this is a great concern. And this remains a great concern because it is not entirely clear what can be done about it other than, as I said, voting in huge numbers one way or another, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats. So there is no question about who actually won and who actually lost. There will still be a constitutional case made by bad faith Republicans. But at least we are doing our part to vote, no matter where you might live. And educate yourself about these things as well.
I'd also recommend becoming a poll worker or an election judge so that you can be there to witness and say what you saw as an honest human being.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, saying this because I've heard from a lot of other people, you know, what do we do? What do we do about this? Well, it is unclear what we do about this because it is unclear what they are going to do. As Kevin Roberts of Heritage Foundation says, some things you will know about, some things you won't until later, and we're not going to tell you. So it is unclear. So as everyone on the non-authoritarian side of the aisle has been celebrating in recent days about what appears to be good news for democracy over autocracy. Great. Keep celebrating. That's important. Keep working. Keep voting. Keep knocking on doors. But don't rest too easy because there's a lot of things we don't know about what are going to happen in the weeks ahead. So after cheering you up for a whole bunch of today's show, you're welcome for ruining it here at the end. Speaking of ruining it here at the end, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Desi Doyen and the Green News Report with some very good and happy news about the current Democratic ticket. All right, that's straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial. Hey, this is Brad. Here at the Bradcast and bradblog.com, we fight for election integrity all year around, like no other media outlet in the nation. But of course, we need your help to help us remain on your public airwaves and completely independent. Please help us continue that fight over your public airwaves by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. And thanks. By the way, to our listener, Sheila, and to others out there, rest easy. We will be covering concerns about certification of the election, actually, as you put it, suppress the vote and
contest the vote.
I do like that. Very good, Dad. We will be covering that in the days ahead. But for now, let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
This has been a slow-moving, meandering storm across the South, producing prodigious amounts of rainfall.
Tropical storm Debbie isn't done yet.
Rising temperatures now threaten the survival of the reef.
Hottest oceans in 400 years endanger Great Barrier Reef, scientists say. Plus,
Vice President Harris' idea of freedom is air that's clean, water that's pure, communities that are safe.
Democratic vice presidential candidate Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is a proven climate champion.
All of those climate champions and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Harris wants to take away your gas cars. And by the way, I think in America, you ought to be able to drive whatever the hell you want to, because this is America and we believe in freedom.
Very brave, J.D. Vance. By the way, in America, you can drive any car you want to, but your pretending is fun, too. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it looks like Hurricane Debbie is coming back for a second helping?
Yes, unfortunately, slow-moving, now tropical storm Debbie is still dumping a deluge in the Carolinas after making a second landfall on Thursday morning, while intensifying storms and flooding from the Great Lakes to the already waterlogged East Coast.
So it hit in Florida, it goes through Georgia and South Carolina, it goes out to sea, and then comes back and hits the Carolinas all over again?
Yes.
Not good.
Preliminary estimates suggest economic losses from Debbie will likely be in the billions of dollars. In Florida, most residents lack flood insurance, so much of that damage won't be covered. ABC reports that Florida's largest property insurer this week already requested a 13% rate increase.
Oh, boy.
New data from the nonprofit First Street Foundation warns that hurricane flooding will impact millions more Americans over the next 30 years, the span of a typical home mortgage. Hurricane flooding is projected to expand further inland, impacting areas that don't see floods today. Current federal flood insurance maps cover only about 25% of some 20 million properties facing increased flood risk across the country. A different analysis has found that despite the growing threat posed by climate change, more than 300,000 Americans moved to flood or fire-prone counties in just the last year.
So they're not getting the message?
No. Sad news in Australia. A comprehensive new study finds that over the last decade, ocean waters around the Great Barrier Reef have warmed to their hottest levels in at least 400 years due to man-made climate change. Based on current warming trends, the researchers warn that unless humanity moves faster away from burning fossil fuels, this generation will likely witness the demise of the Great Barrier Reef. Study co-author Professor Helen McGregor told the BBC that with urgent action, much of the reef could still be saved.
We have the answers to this. We have targets. We have agreements internationally. I think we need to put the politics aside and get on with it.
A bit of good news. The Biden administration Department of Energy this week released another $2 billion in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act to upgrade the nation's electric grid in 18 states, investing in increased grid capacity and new transmission lines to speed the shift to clean energy and protect against accelerating extreme weather impacts.
You're welcome, whole bunch of red states.
Finally, in the critical 2024 presidential election, Vice President Kamala Harris's newly minted running mate, popular Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, is a climate action champion. In his two terms, Walz has enacted a slew of cutting-edge climate and clean energy laws and policies, casting the fight against climate change as an economic win for residents and an imperative for the state's children. With razor-thin Democratic majorities in the state house, Walz pushed through nearly 40 climate initiatives, including tax rebates for electric vehicles, expanded EV charging stations, streamlining permitting for renewable electricity projects and transmission lines, factoring emissions and climate impacts into all state transportation decisions, and more. Walz also enacted an ambitious law requiring utilities to clean up pollution and emissions, mandating 100% clean electricity for Minnesota by 2040. Here's Walz at the bill signing last year.
Our children are counting on us getting this right. And I have to tell you, when I hear people say you're moving too fast, we can't move too fast when it comes to addressing climate change. We can't move quickly enough to address climate change. This idea of waiting is a luxury we do not have and Minnesotans do not have.
We sure could use another climate hero right around now. If it's going to be Tim Walz, we'll take it. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. He's gotta be sure, and it's gotta be soon, and he's gotta be larger than life.
Told you we were gonna be all over the place today.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Desi Doyen. Thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. All made possible and paywall free. Thanks to those of you who hit a donate button or go to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am the Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. It's gotta be sure, and it's gotta be soon.